Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Imagine that you are one of those two disciples walking on that road to Emmaus that first Easter Sunday. It's late in the afternoon, around 4 o'clock or so, and you're on foot walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It's about a 7-mile journey. You have time to talk. And it's been quite a day. You've been awakened early in the morning before sunrise by the women who had gone to the tomb of Jesus to complete his burial rite and who'd come back with some astonishing news that the tomb was open, the grave was empty, the guards were gone, and there was some almost incoherent talk about angels and how he was risen from the dead. And Peter and John had rushed to the tomb, and they saw the grave cloths folded up neatly. They saw the head covering folded separately. Mary Magdalene was nearly hysterical, claiming that she had seen Jesus and that he had called her by name. And then nothing more. That was it. That was your morning. And then you waited around with the other disciples for some more news, but nothing. Had a light meal, a bit of a lunch. Finally, you decide to go home, you and your friend, and you set out on the road back to Emmaus, 7 miles, a couple hours. Along the way, a stranger joins you, a visitor to Jerusalem, and he invites himself to walk along with you. They did that in those days. He seems safe and decent enough, though he's kind of clueless about all the events of the previous week. And he asks you what you're talking about. And so you fill him in on all the details of what had happened. You tell him about Jesus of Nazareth and how he was a great prophet in both what he said and what he did, how he preached the kingdom of God with great authority, and how he healed people, and how all the religious leaders conspired against him and they had him crucified at the hands of the Roman government. And then you stop for a moment and you wait and you wonder, do I go on? Do I tell him the rest? Do you tell this stranger what you just heard this morning? It's crazy, and you know that, and so you hesitate a little bit. And finally, you summon up the courage and you lower your voice a little bit so no one else will hear it. And you say, we had hoped that he was the one. We had hoped that he was the Messiah, the one who was going to redeem Israel, the one who was going to restore the throne of David, the one who was going to bring greatness back to God's people. He looked like the real deal. And now it's the third day since he was executed. And some women from our group amazed us with the news that they'd seen angels who said he was alive. And some of us went to the tomb and they found it just as the women had said it was. But they didn't see him. And the stranger who's walking with you listens quietly and attentively. You're kind of surprised that he doesn't laugh at you for what you just said, but he does smile slightly, and he shakes his head. Foolish ones, so slow of heart to believe what the prophets have spoken to you. Don't you realize that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? It's all over the scriptures. Don't you know that? And you wonder about this. What does he mean that the prophets had spoken this? You knew the prophets. You knew the Torah. You knew the writings. You had to memorize all these things when you were a kid in synagogue. You knew what the prophets said about the Messiah. What did this stranger mean? What was he talking about? And then the stranger begins with Genesis, and he goes through the whole scripture, Moses and all the prophets, and he shows them how it was that the Christ must suffer and enter into his glory. He talked about the promise of salvation to Abraham, or the promise of salvation, excuse me, first to Adam in Genesis, that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. He talked about the Passover lamb and all the other sacrifices. He talked about that ram that stood in the place of Isaac, the son of Abraham. He talked about the promise to Abraham that through his seed all nations would be blessed. He talked about the tabernacle and the temple and the priesthood and the Day of Atonement. And he ran through all the prophets, and he stopped at passages like Isaiah 53 and the suffering servant. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And as the stranger spoke from the scriptures, your head is almost spinning as he weaves together all these passages and images that you knew so well, and he turns them into this single seamless tapestry. And it's one of those prolonged aha moments, I'm sure you've had them, when it all makes sense, when all the loose ends are neatly tied together and everything seems so clear, you almost see it in color, and your heart is racing with excitement. You see it, you get it. And time seems to stand still. And all of a sudden, you're at the fork in the road. And the stranger who seems to know the scriptures as though he himself had written them, is going the other way. He's going away from Emmaus. And the sun is setting and the day is almost over. And you want to hear more. Don't stop. And so you urge him, stay with us. It's almost evening. You're welcome at our house. Stay with us. And he does. The stranger joins you at your table. But strangely, he sits at the head of the table, not the place reserved for a guest. And when it comes time for the meal, he's the one who takes the bread. And he lifts his eyes to heaven and he breaks the bread. And he gives it to you as though he were the head of your household. And all of a sudden, in a flash, your eyes are opened. And you realize who this stranger is, who just broke the bread. And in an instant, you recognize that it's Jesus. And he's alive. And he's here with you at your table. With the broken bread he has just blessed, he's here. And you're about to say something to him, anything, and just as quickly he disappears and he's gone. He vanishes from sight. And somehow this doesn't disturb you in the least, because you get it. It all makes sense to you in some very profound way. It was Jesus who was teaching you in the scriptures. It was Jesus at the table breaking the bread. And your heart cannot possibly contain the joy and the excitement. And you've got to tell somebody else about this. And so you run all the way back, those 7 miles that you walked so slowly. Now you run all the way back to Jerusalem. You got to tell the others. And you tell them what you've just seen and heard. You can't keep such things to yourself. And the disciples, they confirm what you just said. The Lord is risen indeed. He's appeared to Simon. How did you hear about the news that Osama bin Laden had been killed this week? The television? Internet? A phone call? Text messaging? my Facebook friends tip me off. I was just sitting around watching my Facebook roll, and I started noticing some things about Osama bin Laden. And so I checked it out on the internet news, and then Karen turned on the TV, and sure enough, there it was. Within minutes, everybody was talking about it and chattering about it, and they haven't stopped talking about it all week. And I thought it was kind of interesting, the second week of Easter, how a notorious terrorist who we've been hunting for 10 years is killed, and we can't stop talking about the good news. He's dead. 2 short weeks ago, we heard the good news. The dead Jesus is alive. And we probably haven't given it much of a thought. By the Lord's own assessment, those two disciples on the road were foolish. And they were slow of heart. Foolish means unbelieving. It doesn't mean dumb. It means unbelieving. Slow of heart, as in hearts so hardened, so distracted, so conflicted, so wound up in themselves, they don't hear the word. They knew what Jesus had said. They didn't believe it. That's true for all the disciples. It's true for the women. They went to the tomb that morning to anoint a body, not to greet a risen Lord. Yet Jesus had told them he was going to die and rise on the third day. And here they are, all of them, surprised that his word came true. What did they expect? Foolish and slow of heart to believe. And that's you and me too. Foolish and slow of heart to believe. We can hear the good news of the resurrection, and then we can go on with our lives as though nothing of any great significance had happened. We can hear that sin and death lay vanquished and defeated, and then go through our weeks with big, long faces of anger, guilt, shame, sadness, whatever. Luther's wife, Katie, once chided him. She said, "Martin, to look at you, you'd never know that Jesus had risen from the dead." I had one of those weeks myself this week. I called them as if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead weeks. When you get so caught up in your treadmill and your frustrations and your failure and the general stupidity of life and the people around you that you forget this one thing: Christ is risen. And that's really all that matters. This calls for a repentance that turns slow hearts into burning hearts. Hearts like those two disciples on the Emmaus Road. What caused their hearts to burn with faith was not seeing Jesus, because they didn't know who he was. They didn't recognize him, not until the breaking of the bread, and then he was gone. He disappeared. So they are no different than you and I are. They can't see Jesus even when he is walking and talking with them. Their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. That was the Lord's doing. Not their nearsightedness, not their foolishness, not their slowness of heart to believe. It was the Lord's doing. He was weaning them from his visible presence, teaching them to look for him in a certain place, in the word and in the breaking of the bread. And that's where our roads and the Emmaus Road intersect each other. See, that's our road too. We aren't any different than Cleopas and the other disciple. We've heard the news, we've read the eyewitness accounts, but him we have not seen. Our eyes are prevented from seeing Jesus. It's not that we don't want to, it's that we are prevented from seeing Jesus, and yet he is very much here. The scriptures testify to his being here. The breaking of the bread bears witness that he is here. He is with us in a most profound way, much more profound than a 7-mile walk on the road with Jesus. He is with us by his word and spirit, in the preaching of the scriptures, in the breaking of the bread that is his body. He is with us. And Easter joy continues as it has continued for 2,000 years, not because Jesus keeps popping up all over the place so that people can see him. Easter is not a series of ongoing appearances of Jesus. Easter continues in the preaching of Jesus from the scriptures and in the supper of his body and his blood, the breaking of the bread. There the eyes of faith are opened. There he is recognized for who he is as Lord and God and Savior. There he walks with us and talks with us, not in gardens, in the word and the sacrament. And he takes our hearts, slow to believe, and enkindles them by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Every Sunday is a little Easter, we say. Every Sunday, an Emmaus walk with Jesus, not seen but heard. Heard in the word, not seen but recognized in the breaking of the bread. Word and sacrament, we Lutherans like to say, it's not a new idea. It goes all the way back to the road to Emmaus. There's something else from that road that I want to note this morning, a prayer. The prayer of the two disciples, hearts burning, as their traveling companion seems to be pressing on, and they invite him to stay with them for supper. Stay with us. Or, translated slightly differently, abide with us. Abide with us, for the day is nearly over. You know at least a couple of hymns that come from this road. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. Lord Jesus Christ, with us abide, for round us falls the eventide. And the choir sang something new on that, too. It's also our prayer at the close of the day, when we put our cares and fears and angers and anxieties to rest, and we remind ourselves again that regardless of what has happened in our day, our week, our life, Jesus Christ is risen, and in him we too will rise and have life. This is a prayer from Compline, a prayer at the close of the day. It's actually from the prayer for Easter evening, but somebody in our liturgy committee brought this to mind while we were working on Compline for the hymnal, and he reminded us of this wonderful prayer, and so it got moved to an everyday prayer. It's our Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep prayer. It's our Emmaus Road prayer at the end of a long journey. It goes like this. Abide with us, Lord, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Abide with us and with your whole church. Abide with us at the end of the day, at the end of our life, at the end of the world. Abide with us with your grace and goodness, with your holy word and sacrament, with your strength and blessing. Abide with us when the night of affliction and temptation comes upon us, the night of fear and despair, the night when death draws near. Abide with us and with all the faithful, now and forever. And he does abide with us in word, in supper, now and forever. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.